We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another Buzz Beat. The Hornets did lose an ugly game in Milwaukee, but they are still 5-2 post-trade deadline. We're going to keep it light as possible, as positive as possible. This is Richie, and I'll be joined by Brian today for this recap. BG, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. That was probably one of the toughest Hornets games I've seen in a few weeks, but no. Good, so fun to watch Brandon Miller do his thing, and Bucks look good tonight, that's for sure. So, yeah, I'm doing well, busy time with college hoops, decided to take a night off from that to watch some NBA, and this is what was waiting for me. So, but no, it is good to be on with you and our guest tonight. Looking forward to talking a little Hornets here.
Yes, for those of you guys that are watching on the video, you guys can see that Darian, also known as Trust the Buzz, has returned as a guest. Darian, how's everything going on your end?
It's going good. It was some good basketball. I mean, it wasn't from the Hornets, but it was definitely some good basketball. So if you're a fan of basketball, maybe that worked out for you.
Yeah, so the final score was 123-85. Damian Lillard had it going early. Awesome first quarter, scoring 14 points. And not that the Hornets were hot, but like at that moment, like midway through the first quarter, that's when they started to go cold, quote unquote, and they really never picked it back up. They set a record for the NBA this year for the least amount of points in the first half with 26, which obviously was such a big hole that they were not going to be able to dig out of it. And you know, for my viewing pleasure, when I watch a basketball game, the one combination for me that's like the least pleasurable is when opposing teams are hitting 3-point shots, regardless of the defense. Like if the Hornets are playing great defense, whatever. And then for the Hornets end, they have to work for every shot and they end up missing, 70% of them. So that combination right then and there, which we saw tonight, was the worst possible combination for the Hornets. And while that wasn't the whole story for Charlotte, that was a big reason as to why they lost. 3-point shooting for Milwaukee was awesome. 3-point shooting for the Hornets, a lot of red if you were to look at a shot chart. We could start almost anywhere, but I do want to start with like the point guard play, because LaMelo Ball would have changed the outcome of this game, or at least the competitiveness of this game. And that leads me to Cody Martin. And I think he's done a whole lot better since all these new guys have come over, and the role that he has in certain areas have fit perfectly. He's still going to be a guy that on the defensive end is going to play very, very well. He's going to compete. He's going to fight through screens. But offensively, I do understand the concern with the way that he's been playing the point guard position versus maybe, Trey Mann bringing the ball to the court. And I thought he had some moments early on in this game where I was like, wow, point Cody is looking very good. But that didn't really maintain throughout the course of the game. And he gets into trouble when he just over dribbles because he doesn't have the dribble moves like Trey Mann does to break down a defense. And so he's not going to collapse the defense. And what happens is he gets his teammates into trouble because he's a guy that if he can't go anywhere, he's going to make a pass at the last second. And you're putting your teammates in a bad position because they have less shot clock to work with. So I do think, and I've mentioned this before, I think his second side playmaking is good. Like, I think that if he's on the, you know, the weak side and there's Trey Mann on the other side breaking down the defense, he can make the extra pass once when it gets to him. But if you put the ball in his hands to take up the ball up the court, it's just not working. Now, I get that LaMelo is out, but I do wonder, guys, like, do you feel as if Trey Mann should be more of the primary guy? Because it feels like they're kind of playing point guard by duty. Like, you'll see Brandon Miller take the ball up the court sometimes too.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of guys that are handling it right now, because then they'll bring Mišić and Curry off the bench and both those guys will handle it. When they play five out with Grant, you know, they're going to initiate some from the elbow, some five out too. So they really are letting a lot of different guys sort of like get turns with the ball, which is why, like, you know, yes, Cody is sort of starting as like the de facto point guard, but this is far from like a heliocentric situation. He's still getting to run a lot of pick and roll. I think those reps are good for him, just to see what he can do. You know, I do think it would be good to get more of those looks for guys like Trey Mann to see what he's able to do as a young developing player. And then hopefully at some point, you know, getting Nick Smith Jr. back in the fold, letting him handle it as well. But yeah, when they're starting, you know, four guys that can handle it plus Richards, you know. And I thought Cody had a nice little empty side, you know, pick and roll hookup with Richards earlier. But then you could pretty quickly see the difference between going against the Portland Trailblazers pick and roll defense and the Milwaukee Bucks pick and roll defense. And I know the Bucks, it's been a much discussed, you know, topic all season, the lack of point of attack defense and needing to rely on Malik Beasley, although he was really mostly chasing like Brandon Miller around screens tonight. But yeah, having, you know, Damian Lillard have to navigate screens, and all of a sudden, as you know, as opposed to DeAndre Ayton in drop coverage, it's Brooke Lopez with Giannis chipping in and helping. And I thought the Bucks mixed it up a fair amount too. Like, Lopez got a steal early in the game. I don't remember who it was off. It may have been Cody, but where he was up at the level. I mean, actually, it was Mišić, where Lopez all of a sudden was up at the level and got a steal that way. They switched some five-out actions when Grant Williams they switched some 1-5 screen roll actions, Milwaukee, that is, when Grant Williams was in as the screener too. So the Bucks sort of mixed it up a little bit, but obviously, you know, they're going to be in the drop. And that's going to be tough for a team that doesn't, you know, right now is sort of like lacking a, you know, a guy that can really like come off the ball screens and just light you up on the pull-up threes. Even with a guy like Miller, who's shooting okay out of the pick and roll this season, but mostly he's doing it from like that mid-range, elbow, the nail, that type of stuff, try to get to the runner at times. He's still like a little limited in terms of like what he can do against drop. And even in games when he has it rolling, there are times when it seems like you'd like Miller to maybe take one or two more dribbles and just see if he can, like, you know, get all the way to the rim. Can he finish above the center and drop as opposed to having to constantly rely on the pull up the mid range? And yeah, I mean, just nothing was easy at the rim tonight, or it felt like it felt difficult for Charlotte to get to the rim.
Correct.
And then it was really the areas that Milwaukee is just prone to making life miserable for you, which is like the floater area, is really where Charlotte, you know, really, really struggled to finish, you know, in the game tonight. So it's cool to see Cody get the reps. And I think it's fine to have this thing be like a little decentralized. Like, I kind of like that it's getting a lot of guys involved. And I think it's contributed to some of the just sort of like general good vibes of the team. But it's probably important to note that, like, even during this like win streak with the, well, not win streak, but this like this run of games for the Hornets, where they'd won 5 or 6 or 4 or 5 coming into tonight. You know, the defense had sort of been carrying them to an extent, maybe getting some shooting luck in that regard, especially against Portland. And on top of that, really, it's the offensive lineups with Williams at center that have sort of like opened things up and actually been like the drivers of some of the better offense, you know, in recent weeks. And as we should also mention, I mean, this has been a really long road trip for the Hornets. I mean, they haven't played at home since Valentine's Day, I think. So, like, it's been 2 weeks on the road, wrapped around the All-Star break. So, you know, clearly some tired legs, I think it's safe to assume. And they're going to have to rest up over the next couple of days here to get ready to take you know, play Boston or play Milwaukee again.
Oh no, we played them again.
Yep.
Oh man. Hey, Darren. So what do you think about Cody Martin so far in these past like 5, 6, 7 games where he has had more of a load as the point guard? Well, I mean, he's had it farther back, but just kind of like with the new guys surrounding him, do you think that it probably should go to Trey Mann or how, what are your feelings about him?
I'm an advocate that it should go to Trey Mann. I don't think Cody Martin, I'll say this on to his defense. We're asking him to do a lot. We're asking him to kind of be that lead guard when that's not something I thought he probably never thought he would have to do either. But also it's kind of like some of the things we see him do. It's like, all right, Cody Martin, yes, you're not our lead point guard, but you know, we kind of expect a little more of you. I feel like a lot of what is wrong with Cody Martin playing point guard is that he's not much of a offensive threat. He can hit shots. He can hit floaters. He can get to the he can do these things. But when you see him dribbling, similar to a point you made earlier about him kind of just dribbling too much, I think as a defender, you're pretty set on it. You're pretty confident he's not going to do anything you haven't seen before or do anything to really get by you. So you can kind of just get set and just kind of guard him face up. You don't have to worry about too much happening. And I think that indirectly kind of affects his ability to play make as well, because there's really not much he's going to be able to do. I think he's really good like connecting the play, similar to also what you said. I think that's something he farewells with. I feel like his playmaking gets better with the better playmakers he has on the court. So I've seen him like kind of make nice little passes where it swung from LaMelo to him and he dumps it off to Nick Richards or maybe even Mark Williams, you know, in maybe 5 games. I don't even know how many games necessarily him and Mark Williams have played together, but we've seen him do that and it looks good. I know a couple of times in Portland, he had some really good passes. If I'm not mistaken, he had like 10 assists. So it's not necessarily his ability or his lack of ability to pass. I think he can pass. It's just being asked to be a lead guard, especially with new guys. I will say there's a lot of other kind of things that add on to that. But at the same time, some of these things he's not doing is things that's like, okay, yes, you're not a lead guard, but these are kind of things we kind of need you to do. We kind of need you to be that guy who could be our tertiary playmaker if need be, or if whatever reason, you know, Brandon Miller's getting doubled or LaMelo's getting doubled, we need you to be able to get the ball and kind of make something happen instead of kind of just dribbling it out. He kind of pulled a couple of Ish Smiths in this game where he'll just dribble, go all the way around, go out to the wing, and then try to find someone there. And then by the time he does get it to, let's say, Miles Bridges, Grant Williams is basically almost at half court and there's only 2 seconds left in the shot clock. So there are some things where it's just like, okay, a little bit of it's IQ. But as I believe him as a passer, I believe him as a playmaker, but just asking him to do it to this extent is kind of where I draw the line. And I am surprised they're not, you know, giving more to Trey Mann. I understand LaMelo's out, but like, I'm like an analogy here, similar to football. Not too many times does running back by committee works. The teams that do really good in a run game are the teams that have that one guy that can, you know, move the ball upfield. And I feel like without LaMelo, I mean, Misich, I have faith in him, but it's still really, really early. But we don't have – without LaMelo, we don't have that one guy that can kind of take the role. It always is going to have to be playmaking by committee until, you know, we get a little more comfortable. I don't think it's necessarily we have to go trade and get somebody, but I do feel like we have what it takes. We just have to find it. And right in tonight was a reason of that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate – isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I do kind of wonder if, like, Cliff is, to an extent, I don't know if this is even, like, a worthwhile assumption, but maybe they're not trying to, like, overtax man to an extent. Like, new guy, new situation, still young, as opposed to just, like, you know, giving him the keys or just throwing him in the deep end and seeing how it goes. Like, maybe it's not a bad idea to sort of, like, have someone in there to absorb some of the playmaking, and then give Trey Mann some catch and shoots, give Trey Mann some closeouts to attack. He can make a play out of that stuff too, even if it does sort of feel like the roles naturally make sense if they're reversed. We'll see how it goes going forward. Like, I could also see, like, if the offense, like it did tonight, sort of like hits a skid a little bit here, like, my guess is if they were like this for a couple of games, they're going to have to try it. They'll change it up, right? Like, all of a sudden you're going to see more Mišić, more man, or maybe LaMelo's back or whatever. I think all of this is also should be noted, like, probably being done to keep Miller in a certain kind of role in terms of, like, on-ball, off-ball usage, like, what that looks like for him. And I think that's good. That's responsible. And yeah, as far as, like, Cody Martin goes, like, he's just not that, like, he's not a pull-up shooter and he's not super manipulative. So, like, yeah, when the passing read is there, boom, he can make it. He did have one of those sort of, like, Steve Nash, like, probing drives in the Portland game where he went under the – on the left side, came out on the right. But then Portland's defense, entire defense, basically just, like, fell down. And Richards was wide open at the rim. Like, I almost clipped it and was like, wow, nice play. And then it really was just, like, he drove through three traffic cones. And they all got knocked over. And he passed two. It wasn't quite as impressive as it looked on first watch. But it is just good. It's, like, nice to see him back and playing. I mean, like, if you told me 2 months ago this guy would be in the lineup, I would be just, like, thrilled with that. If you told me 2 months ago that he'd be running the show, I would be, like, concerned, maybe a little intrigued as to why, how it had gotten there. But I kind of think that, like, what you're seeing now isn't how it will, like, what's guaranteed to be the offensive, like, hierarchy for the next 6 weeks, whether LaMelo comes back or not.
Yeah, do we think he's going to come back? Because it seems as if, like, you know, some of these videos that we're seeing with him working out pregame, like, it doesn't seem like he's injured all that much. Like, I just you do wonder, okay, with the record, is it worth it? But, like, you kind of want to see him with the other guys on this roster to see what they, you know, they have going forward in the offseason. So, Darian, do you have any conspiracy theories here?
Yeah, I've for a while has said that I think he'll come back on this next game against the Bucks at home. It's not the prettiest. I don't know why. I can't tell you why. I don't have the stats to prove it, but I'm very, like, if a player's out for an extended period of time, I feel like teams always, for the most part, try to bring them back on a home game, unless they're playing the Hornets and they'll bring them back then. I felt like that this next game is the time he'll come back. I have no idea. Like you said, he doesn't seem injured. And it's almost, I wouldn't say it's a slap in the face, but at some point it's like, okay, like I don't know. It's a little like, I don't want to see it anymore if he's not going to play. But it's hard. Yeah. I mean, it's because we play a couple home games and we're back on the road. So there's not really a good time at this point, at least for the next 10 games, to really bring him back. I mean, bringing him back against the Bucks, do you really want to do that? I mean, even with him back, he's coming off an injury and it's the Bucks. So I don't know. There's not really a good time. But as far as like what we need as fans and almost as a team, I think that the next game is going to be probably the best bet. If we don't see him then, I'm really leaning towards we might not see him for the rest of the season. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that as far as health, because I do not want to see him get injured again. I don't want I don't want the excuse. And two, of course, you just don't want to see someone get hurt again. Because what happened earlier this year where Steve Clifford was like, well, he let them get the backlash and then was like, oh, well, he just got healthy like 2 days ago. And it's like, well, you could have told us that 10 games ago. So I don't want that to happen again, but also we kind of need it. And I mean, at this point, the team's officially his. There's nothing stopping the team from being his best player, most notoriety, biggest paycheck. It's all lines up for him. So we really need to see him out on the court. So I prefer that to be this year, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, bringing back on a home game makes a ton of sense. You might be right. You might be wrong about those statistics, but it seems like it's right. Yeah, I wouldn't say necessarily this game was because of the point guard play that they lost, but we definitely want to see LaMelo back. I guess a couple other guys just want to mention real quickly before we get to the Poku news. Brandon Miller, you brought him up a couple of times, Brian. I didn't have a ton of notes on him. And just really anybody with the roster, like there wasn't like a ton of like stretches where the players played well, but he did have a couple stretches in the third quarter and the fourth quarter where his pull-up mid-range shot was working, his three-point shot was working. But for the overall game, it wasn't like an awesome game for Brandon Miller, although he probably had one of the better games, I guess. I kind of use that term lightly. Grant Williams, I thought there were some moments when he was guarding Giannis in the post. Like I think he is clearly the best player to defend Antetokounmpo on our roster. But with him not starting, sometimes his minutes didn't align with Giannis's. And then whenever Brook Lopez was out there, it felt like Grant had to shift over to Brook while Miles, you know, stayed on Giannis. And I think Miles had the most deceiving stat line. If you were to just look at the counting numbers, the 17 points as a team high for this game, I thought he was one of the worst players to play against the Bucks tonight. I think it was just, I was texting you about it, this, Brian, but just the volume of shots that he took.
And early just, on, he was
early
just
on. Yeah.
Dell actually made a comment about it during the broadcast. He was like, wow, he is getting it in the air tonight. It was like,
oh, he did say that.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, he is.
So that's kind of what made it seem less effective. I think he got most of his points, or at least a chunk of his points, in garbage time towards the end. So, I don't know. And also Grant Williams, to me, too, like it didn't feel like he had a lot of the energy, but I guess by the time he got into the game, the momentum was just completely lost.
Yeah. It's like one of those, like, what do you even do? Like, even in his new role that he's taken, it's like, that's one of them things where it's like, I don't even know what to say. When's the last time Grant Williams has been in a situation like this without missing, like, stars? Yeah,
it is great. Stars. It is. This is such a different role for him. You know, just thinking about like what his first 4 years in the league looked like, you know, being a role player, energy guy for Boston. And that, I mean, I get 2 seasons ago, he was more than just like an energy guy. Like he was a serious contributor to a team that was like 2 wins away from winning the finals and like a very important piece for them. And obviously he's played well, but, yeah, this is different, and it's probably going to look different for the foreseeable future for him, depending on how long, you know, he's around Charlotte. I think he's played very well these minutes. But, yeah, I thought like, as far as, like, the way Giannis got going tonight, I mean, one, this probably goes without saying, but, like, Giannis and Embiid are the two guys that when the Hornets play them, and they would be playing Embiid on Friday, I guess, if he were healthy, but, like, they're the two guys the last couple of years – I think in part because, one, the Hornets have been terrible. They've been bad defenses. They've been small, whatever it is. But it's just been like you feel those guys so much. It just feels like they could get to the rim every single possession, just every single time. And they can do that on most teams, but it just feels like even more like heavy against the Hornets. It just feels like they're playing downhill the entire game. But that said, like I thought Grant, one-on-one, I thought he did pretty well against Giannis in the mid post. Giannis seemed like he did most of his damage in transition or when they were just using him on either side of the pick and roll, right? Where he's got Brook Lopez screening for him. Miles is in trying at the point of attack. They miscommunicate how they want to handle it, and all of a sudden, like, it's a jailbreak for those two guys, and they can, you know, Lopez or Giannis can go score, or Giannis is screening for someone else, and he's diving in, and you know they can play out of that. I thought that was where he was at his best, as opposed to sort of just trying to like face up and just like you know go one-on-one into Grant, or I guess Bridges for that matter. Although Bridges got he did put down a pretty nasty reverse dunk on Miles in the second half of that game. I thought like Dame Lillard, Brooke Lopez two-man game was really good for Milwaukee early on in this one as well. And yeah, just the defense tonight for Miles was bad. Like, it was bad. It's pretty much bad every game. There's no surprises there. And I don't know. I thought Miller played well tonight too. Thought he was solid. It's nice to see him like get to his mid range a little bit. Looking at his shot chart tonight, again, it was pretty mid range heavy. He was 1 of 6 on above the break threes, 1 of 1 on corner threes, 3 of 5 from 14 feet to the 3-point line. Then 1 of 1 at the rim, 0 of 1 in the 4 to 14 foot area. So Miller was all right. We just like to see him be able to turn the page and get on to the next one, because he's obviously been playing really good ball and would love to keep watching Brandon Miller put together a solid to very good rookie season for the Hornets here.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I think, you know, Miller and probably Trey Mann probably had the best games. Vasemichus was pretty non-existent. Richards fell off in the second half. Seth Curry had a moment or two in the first half. I thought the funniest thing was when Seth Curry like basically told Trey Mann, hey, I'm taking this technical free throw.
Yeah, that was like, great.
We have one of the best free throw shooters that is on our – well, I mean, I feel like anybody on our team, it's Seth Curry. That's who I think about. And this young Trey Mann's going to step up to the line. And I don't know if he just thought like no one was claiming it, and so he was just going to go because, I don't know, he was close to the free throw line. But Trey Mann was good. I mean, I think he had some moments too. He had a crazy up and under to start the game. And I think one of the biggest things that I noted with him – he's always around the ball with the rebounds and the loose balls. And he had this awesome strip on Giannis in the first half where he just kind of timed the dig where he's and he got his hands on that for the turnover. And I believe he got points off that turnover. So, Darian, any other thoughts about this game? Any other thoughts about any players that stood out to you? I know it's kind of pinpoint.
Trey Mann and Brandon Miller, similar to every, I mean, y'all said everything I kind of wanted to say. What I like, I don't think, off the top of my head, Brandon Miller has too many just like straight up bad games. Like, as we could say, probably safely for Miles here, it's like it just wasn't a good game despite the stats. But Brandon Miller to me just rarely has like all facets of the game. I think it's all negative. I think that rarely happens. And I may think he has a bad quarter, bad half, but he always rebounds. If that first half is bad, you know that second half is going to be better. I feel that pretty much for the whole season for him, no matter who's kind of in the lineup, which to me is a good thing with a team who has a history of influx lineups, to be able to kind of adjust on the fly and mold your game around those guys, I think is a good asset to have, even though you would like to see some stability in the future for him and the roles around him. But Trey Mann, I love Trey Mann. I think he does just everything, essentially. Is that some people can say that's good, some people can say that's bad. I'm one of the people, I'll take it as good for now, because despite have the overhaul of the roster, I think that we still need just guys that just play basketball. We can figure out who does what, who specializes in what later. I mean, even though we have Seth Curry and, you know, kind of some guys automatically kind of go in their roles, but we can kind of figure out that later. We just need guys who play basketball. So I really like what Trey Mann's been able to do. If we need him to score, we saw, I think it was it the Pacers game? Might have been a Hawks game. I can't quite remember, where he dropped 21. We need him to get close to a triple-double, then he did. He can do that as well. He's not that bad of a defender on ball. I really like his instincts off ball, kind of like the help side defender. He had a similar like steal today, being on the help. And then also he had two or three times against Portland where he just kind of flew off the wing or corner and was able to tip the ball, steal the ball, whatever. So I really like that instinct from him. It's something I feel as though we weren't getting in the past. Really, if anything, this game showed me that we cannot rely on Grant Williams kind of being the backup center. I know, you know, we're waiting on Mark, but that was kind of like my biggest thing, is that Cliff has been saying, oh, Grant is so good at, you know, coming in, we're able to play the five out, and it works. But there's going to be times like tonight where if you're not hitting on offense, then it doesn't really pay off on the defensive end, because you're not trading twos for threes, essentially. And I feel like that's kind of what led to what happened tonight, was we weren't hitting on offense. So it kind of just
– I think it has the chance to be like sort of similar to like kind of what – what I wanted PJ's role to look like once Mark was in town, which was that like it would be, maybe it wouldn't even be like an every night thing for Charlotte. Or if it was going to be 2 minutes to close the half or 3 minutes to close the half, like something like that. But to use a baseball reference that like I think Div made a long time ago, was that like, you want it to be like the changeup or like the off-speed pitch, not the, like the fastballs are going to be the, you know, Mark Williams, and then whomever else is going to be, you know, assuming it's Richards, you know, going forward as well. I guess we'll see what the future may hold for James Nagy or how the draft shakes out, et cetera. But like, it's a good thing to have on nights when you want to switch. You can try it, although granted they're using Grant in the drop mostly. But when you want to get five out, when you want to open up your shooters with elbow action, like you can go to it. It just is like it is a little tough because like he's just limited as like a finisher in the paint. Like that to me is really what it is. Like he even caught the ball once against Milwaukee tonight, like in the pocket on a short roll. I don't remember if even Lopez was in or if it was, you know, Giannis or
Portis. He had someone like on his hip and he still passed it out.
He had to kick it out to the left corner and it was like, and it's like, that's like technically the right play and I get it. But, he just is a below the rim finisher for an undersized center. So like it does create some, even some offensive limitations, but he's out there to like set hard screens, get guys going off handoffs. So you've already seen the chemistry between he and Bertans or he and Curry. He and Mann, Miller at times. So like, again, I like it as like a possible tool. And I also like Grant being able to have that as opposed to just being like a spot up guy too. Like you do want, that's part of the package with him, but I don't think you want to go ahead and like put him in pen as like the backup center, like the full-time second string center, unless that's going to be, you've got another third center that's going to be playing, that's going to be in the mix, or it's, you know, one guy's out and he's doing it for a 2 week stretch or whatever. But I think you want him to be like your de facto third center, and maybe he plays it every night, but it's sort of in a more defined capacity as opposed to just him being like like, again, sort of like in pen as the backup center too.
Yeah. And I think the Bucks are honestly like the worst case scenario for this because all their tall guys can shoot. I mean, outside of Giannis, who of course hit a three against us tonight, all their tall guys can shoot. So typically you're not running into every center like Bobby Portis, Brook Lopez, all can shoot deep at that. So I will say that, of course, you know, this is probably the toughest team to actually do that with. Most teams, you'll probably have a little more success, even the better teams. And I also think that for roster construction going forward, I do still believe we need a center or someone tall that can shoot and maybe play defense, because Bertans kind of fills that role, but he can't play defense. So it's just we need someone, because I say all the time that outside of Bertans, I think Miles Bridges might be off the top of my head our tallest player that can shoot. And he's what, 6'8"?
Yeah.
So it's not that. I guess compared to the rest of the league, it's not that good.
Like Miller, I guess, too. But even he's skinny and he's in that third guard role. Yeah, it was. We can stop talking about the Milwaukee game, but it was hilarious. Like the brief stretch that Bertans was on the court while Lillard was out there, Damian Lillard was like, bring him to me. Like I would like to get a switch against Davis Bertans and then try to cook. Which, you know, as one would expect them to. Yes, I'd love for them to get a stretch five, or a hybrid 4-5. You know, like even like a Jamichael Green type. You know, one of those guys that can play some at both ends and give you some pickup pops. I mean, PJ was that to an extent, but things happened and they were able to make a move. So I get it. But even then, maybe finding someone that's more in like the 6'10" role. They're the 6'10" height as opposed to being PJ, who's a 6'7" guy with, you know, wingspan and strength.
Well, what about a 7-footer from OKC?
Chet Holmgren's coming over.
I'll take that.
I think that's great. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Well, we'll try to make that segue to what just happened today earlier. We got the report from Woj that the Hornets have signed Poku. I guess there's no real details about the actual contract as of 10:48 on.
Yeah,
I do think it's going to just be a low risk contract. I don't have much expectations from Poku, and I think the likelihood that it doesn't work out is probably higher than it does work out for him in Charlotte. But maybe the change of scenery is just nice. Maybe all these OKC Thunder players just thrive better in Charlotte. last season, he had an injury around like New Year's, and he really hasn't recovered since. You can kind of just see his body. Like it's just, it needs a lot of work. It's frail. He's got the length to bother people at the rim. He can contest, he can block shots, but I think if he can't hit his outside shot, you guys were just talking about a stretch big, you know, this hasn't really been a thing for him. Like he has not been able to stretch the court outside of those first 30 games of 2022. I think he's going to have a long way to go to kind of carve out a role here in the NBA. So yeah, I don't really have much expectations for him. We'll see what happens. Yes, he is a 7-foot center, but he's not like a center in your traditional sense. I'm thinking like out of a scale of 1 to 10 that this works out probably like a 3 out of 10. And he's a guy that like hangs on next year. I just can't see it.
I don't see it either.
I'm being pessimistic, maybe. I don't know.
Nah, I don't see it either. If anything, I'm interested to see how they use him. Only because he has similar build to Montez Buzilis, kind of G League Ignite. So maybe it's a like a hindsight, like, oh, if they use him that way, they might use Montez the same way. I don't know. But I don't see it. Unless it's like a JT Thor replacement, I'll take that because he gives you a little bit more. Because sometimes JT Thor will be like, okay, you're taking shots, you're going for dunks, and then sometimes he'll just stand there for 30 minutes. So Poku, I guarantee you, will not stand there for 30 minutes. He'll try. Whether it'll be good or bad, I don't know, but he'll at least do something. So
he'll get active.
I don't know.
That's for sure. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like I guess they'll have to make a roster spot for him. I guess I assume Marquise Bolden, who played tonight, I mean, he played very briefly at the end. I mean, I guess he's on a 10-day. Maybe he won't be back. In which case, that opens up a spot. Or I guess they could move one of the two-way guys or whatever, and then have Poku. But I don't foresee that being the route. My guess is he takes the 15th roster spot. And like, you know, there's just no risk in doing this. So try it out. I mean, I'll be curious to see how much he even plays, honestly, at least this season, because there's not really a role there for him with Bridges and Grant. And again, I would assume Thor's still higher in the pecking order, although maybe you bring him in and try it out. He hasn't played much this season. Shot it better. Like, at times, the last two seasons had, like, moments where he was, like, a fringe rotation guy for stretches of time for, like, a good team. So that's kind of interesting. Like, maybe there is something there. Like, that, you know, he's a seven-footer that has shown some pick-and-pop skills and can handle and pass a little bit. Like, he's a creative player. He's not very good at this point, but I think I'll be fascinated to see what his role looks like for the rest of the season. And I think stuff like this is not what defines like a good or bad rebuild or whatever, but it does speak to the fact that Charlotte is in a rebuild and they're going to take a chance on like a young guy that has some weirdness and some skills to him and some size or some length, I guess I should say. And like that, whether it works out with Poku or not, it's like, almost beside the point. It's like, these are the kinds of things that I'm cool with them trying, basically, to see if you can find something. And if it turns out to be anything, then this is like a stroke of genius. And if not, then like, you know, we'll forget about it. Like we forgot about, you know, like we'll forget about this game, you know? Although like, if you guys want to know what to get me for my birthday, maybe a 17 Poku Hornets jersey later this year would be would look pretty nice. So and that way the Hornets would be guaranteed to sell at least one Poku jersey too. So but what we welcome to the club. I'll be curious to see, you know, when he shows up what it looks like. Yeah, at least adds a little bit of like weirdness and intrigue to the end of the season.
I'm not gonna lie, I think that Woj was hacked earlier this week. I don't know if you guys heard about that. So then when I saw this news, I was kind of like wondering if this was like a fake. Like because there hasn't been confirmation from the Hornets yet, right? Like, I don't think there's been anything official release yet. So, no,
I didn't know Woj got hacked, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, by NFT scammers. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yeah.
At least it wasn't during trade deadline. I feel like a hacker. That's the time to do it.
Yeah.
That could actually cause problems. You know what I mean?
It would be like, ridiculous.
He'd like, you know, they'd leak a fake trade. And although it is one of those things where it's like, if they didn't do it like in the Woj voice and tone,
people would know it.
Like everyone knows what it looks like. I mean, he's like, whatever. You know, really, it's just like he's saying stuff in agent voice, basically. Like he just talks like a sports agent. So. But I think it would be obvious if someone was using the Woj handle to tweet something else. But anyways, good stuff tonight, guys. As usual, fun to talk Hornets with y'all.
Yeah, I wish we would have chosen a different game. We about did the Portland game on Sunday night, and that just would have been better. But Brian and I, like, we just have bad luck. We choose games in which there's blowouts.
Yeah,
we're just so down on the Hornets when in actuality, I feel like, you know, moving forward for the rest of the year, there are some teams where I'm just like, I expect the Hornets to win this game. Like, I would not have said that prior to the trade deadline. So,
yeah, they've got some, you know, they've got like the Pistons coming up. Although I guess the Pistons have looked a little frisky recently. Kate's played well.
But that's something we need. Cause I think we're 0-2 against the Pistons this year. So we need that game desperately.
But to Richie's point, like at least the team's in a spot where like because of how the draft is set up, because they like have picked a direction with what they're doing, because they have some good young guys in the door already, because they've got like net positive, some picks coming down the line. It does sort of feel like, and I get that like there's descending expected value with each pick. Like I'm well aware of that. How many all-stars come from pick X or pick Y? Like, I get all of that. But, like, it does feel like the next, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it just does get to be, like, low stakes. Keep an eye on them, monitor, you know, pay attention to things you want to see. Miller, you know, Smith, does LaMelo come back? Trey Mann, what does that look like? You know, hopefully see them win some games. And, like, don't worry about necessarily, like, the lottery. Like it felt like last season that was just this like existential thing that was hanging overhead. you know, sort of, you know, they didn't get Wembanyama, but it still sort of worked out. So I think as far as just like the way the next 2 months go, it's just a lot of like internal scouting, basically. There's a lot of young guys. There's a lot of like creativity on the roster now. So just, yeah, pay attention to sort of like what you think is most interesting to you, I think, from here on out.
All right, the next three games for the Hornets is Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and then Toronto. I wonder if Miles Bridges will be able to play in that game because that's up in Toronto again. So,
yikes.
Yeah. Darian, thanks for joining us again. Let everyone know where they can find your content.
Oh, you can find me on Trust the Buzz on YouTube. I mean, as you see it here, if you're listening, it's T-R-U-S-T, the, and then B-U-Z-Z for Buzz. And then also you can find me on Twitter where I just, you know, just talk about it, just more up-to-date stuff. And that's TruzzBuzz, T-R-U-Z-Z-B-U-Z-Z. And that's really it. I love being on here. I love talking Hornets with you guys, especially now. I think this is the first time I've talked after we've been somewhat decent. I think every time I've been on here, we've been pretty bad, like four game losing streaks and stuff. Like, we were getting here talking about, oh, we almost, you know, we got the gap within 10. So it's good to talk. Like, we've got a couple one games under our belt.
It is a funny place to be, like, covering the Hornets when it's like they just get blasted by 40 points on the road. And it's like, yeah, things are looking pretty good, actually.
This is much better than before.
This is progress, yeah. But no, I agree. As Richie said, we picked some hilarious – Lee and I did a game last season against the Celtics where I think Boston scored like 50 points in the first quarter against Charlotte. Like, it's just – we've had some bad luck with picking the live pods, but it's okay. We were able to talk about some big picture things in the Poku signing, so it worked out, actually.
Be on the lookout for an episode later this week where I get to interview Grant Williams' high school coach. I think it'll be released on Thursday for our BuzzBeat Plus subscribers and then either Friday or Saturday for the public feed. So if you want access to that or ad-free episodes or early access to episodes, visit buzzbeat.substack.com/March24 to get 50% off an annual membership to our Substack. I will also put that in the episode notes. For Brian, Darian, I'm Richie. We'll talk to you guys later.